Hi, it's Brock Romanek, editor of thecorporatecouncil.net. I'm here today with Tom Benz, who's a partner of Holland & Knight here in Washington, D.C., to talk about the latest developments of D&O insurance, a topic that actually I haven't addressed on the site in quite a while. And so we're here to catch up on the latest developments. Tom, so what first question is, what are the latest developments in D&O insurance?
Sure. Well, thank you, Brock. I appreciate the opportunity. I guess there's really a couple things that have been happening lately that are of note. First is that there's been an introduction of a lot of new forms into the marketplace. The standard D&O form has been updated and revised by most of the major carriers in the last year, couple of years, to deal with Dodd-Frank and Sarbanes-Oxley and investigation coverage, that kind of stuff. There's also been a number of specialty forms have been introduced to deal with FCPA violations, informal investigation coverage, and a host of other specific items that are now available that have never been available in the past. I think the other major development that we're seeing is that pricing has started to harden in the market. For the last several years, we've been in a relatively soft market where we were seeing decreases of, 5, 10, 15% or more. And this year, I think we've really started to see the market start to harden up, where you see a lot of prices are flat, if not as much as 15% increases, with no change to the risk. So I think those are really the main changes that we've seen lately.
And soon I'm going to be doing a program on a site that I have called DealLawyers.com about the explosion in M&A related litigation. I would imagine that might play a factor in D&O insurance as well, because I think the D&Os are typically named in those suits.
That's absolutely true. And I'll tell you, I think the latest statistic is that if you're over a $500 million deal, that you have a 85 to 90% chance of having litigation come out of it. And that's just a shocking statistic. And with the way D&O insurance policies work, as are claims made and reported policies, it's vitally important before you go into one of these M&A transactions that you know how the policies are going to respond and make sure that you put in place changes that are necessary to ensure that there'll be coverage. And whether you're going from private to public or you're just acquiring another company, it has a very dramatic effect on your program and your protection. Hmm.
So what are the most common mistakes these days that companies make when they're dealing with their D&O insurance?
Well, I think probably the biggest mistake I see out there is they just accept, companies will just accept kind of the off-the-shelf D&O product. My experience is that you can really significantly enhance your protection with a little bit of negotiation. I don't think it's not uncommon to see, 20, 30 endorsements or more on a particular D&O policy. And the companies that accept the, off-the-shelf product or, a product with, 2, 3, 5 enhancements are really missing out on some real opportunities to make sure that their product does what they think it should do. And part of that is just really understanding how these products work. Unlike a lot of different lines of insurance, D&O is completely manuscript. So there may be a standard product that each carrier offers, but it's a different product for the private company, the public company, and between one carrier and the next, you'll have completely different forms and different language. And sometimes that can make a significant difference on the amount of protection you have. So what we try to do with our clients is make sure that they understand what risks they're facing and then go to the actual policy language and make sure that that policy is addressing those specific risks. I'll tell you, just to give you an example of what I'm talking about, I once represented a logistics company. They moved product from point A to point B, and they had an errors and omissions policy with an exclusion on it that said if you lose the product, you delay the shipment, or you there's damage to the product, there's no coverage. And, quite frankly, that was all the company did. They moved product, and you could either damage it, lose it, or delay the shipment. And so, they were paying thousands and thousands of dollars for a product that really didn't provide them any protection. So, it's really important that you understand what protection you have, what your risk is, and then, make sure that the product is responding appropriately. I think the other really big problem that I see out there is that directors and officers forget that it's really your bylaws, the indemnification provision in your bylaws, that is your first level of protection. And so they get neglected. You know, a lot of companies put their bylaws in place and never look at them again, you know, for 20, 30, 40 years or more. And the law has changed fairly significantly in the last several years, you know, 5, 10 years, about what you can and can't do, how your bylaws should be interpreted, and what's possible. A good example there, we have, you know, a white-collar team here at Holland & Knight, and, you know, recently in the last year or two, it's more and more common for them to recommend that you plead the fifth if you're being investigated by your company. And I think that most bylaws don't reflect what to do in that situation. And, you know, like anything else, the last thing you want is to try and figure that out when you're in that situation. You want to have that set out well in advance.
So what about, you know, directors, or I guess the agent on behalf of the directors is usually someone within the company. What should they be doing now to review their coverage and figure out if they need to update it?
Well, you know, it's a lot to expect that for any director or officer to be an expert in D&O insurance. You know, quite frankly, you're not going to know what the other carriers are offering or what enhancements are out there. So you really have to rely on, you know, your broker and hopefully an independent third-party expert in D&O insurance, because that's really what, you know, we do. We know what the other carriers are offering, and we know what is available out in the marketplace. And I guess in that same respect, you don't want to focus solely on pricing. I think over the last couple of years, a lot of companies were, you know, tightening their budgets, and if they could save, you know, some significant amount of money on their D&O insurance, they were trying to make those changes. And I think that's sometimes a short-sighted way of looking at it, because, you know, save $50,000, but if you don't have any coverage as a result, you know, you just lost out on a, you know, however many million-dollar lawsuit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks very much, Tom. This has been very practical and useful, and I'm glad we checked in with you.
Yeah, happy to help.